Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 62, Aliens in Paradise. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Hey there, Chris.
Howdy. We are back, of course, once again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. We were off last week because I was sick and you were out of town, but a whole bunch of stuff has happened since then. There was a Nintendo Direct, there was some big Nintendo news today, and then on top of that, we're going to have our big topic, which won't be so big this week, but we're going to talk about some of our favorite Mario power-ups when we get around to that part of the show. Mm-hmm. But for now, let's just kick it off with the news. And specifically, the big news this morning came out of all places, the Apple event.
Yep.
You know, who knew going into this Apple event that we were going to see Shigeru Miyamoto come out on stage?
That was crazy. And he got like a 1 minute, you know, applause from the crowd, which was really cool.
Yeah, he got a huge ovation.
Yeah.
And the reason he was there is because he was announcing the next game in Nintendo's mobile initiative. And, you know, we already have Miitomo. We know that Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem are on the way.
Yep.
But they finally announced it, the Super Mario mobile game. It's called Super Mario Run. And I don't know about you, but for me, and I think for a lot of people, this is what they were all expecting when we found out Nintendo was going to go mobile and they were going to put stuff on iPhone.
Yeah.
And that's because this is basically a new Super Mario Brothers themed automatic runner.
Mm-hmm. Which I was hoping for, but completely did not. I don't think any of us expected it. I expected, honestly, I expected Puzzles versus Dragons with the Mario theme or something.
I was expecting we'd be getting maybe something like this down the road, but yeah. I certainly didn't expect it now.
No,
it today.
Honestly, when they announced Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem, I was like, okay, apparently this is how they're going with this. They're just going to use these other properties that kind of feel like they would work better as a mobile game, and they're not going to touch Mario. They're not going to touch Zelda. They're not going to touch Metroid. But, hey, the gates have been open.
Yeah, as it turns out, they are doing Mario after all. And like I said, it looks just like the new Super Mario Brothers games that we've been used to.
I don't think that's a good thing. What do you think? I think it looks dated now, believe it or not. How do you feel?
Well, it certainly wouldn't have hurt for it to get a new coat of paint, but I think if you're going to, you know, use an existing Mario aesthetic, I think that beats using Super Mario World or Mario 3 or the original Mario graphics or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine, especially because it uses the play mechanics of the new Super Mario Brothers games. It uses that little aerial hop. Mm-hmm. It uses the wall jump quite a bit. So I think it does make a lot of sense from that perspective. And even though it is an automatic running game, it does have most of the trappings that you'd expect out of a Mario game. It has the same types of environments, the green and happy above ground levels, the underground levels, the castles, a lot of familiar enemies, the Goombas, the Koopas, Bowser, lots of coins to collect, mushrooms to power up with. But the main difference is it is an automatic runner.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's taking away what we've already got on 3DS and on Nintendo consoles. Mm-hmm. But it's like, here, this is sort of a taste. This is a warm-up. This gives you sort of a hint of what we can do in the world of Nintendo. Now, if you want the real thing, you know, go out and buy yourself a Nintendo console. So I think it's pretty smart.
Yeah. The news was that this is actually going to push Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem to 2017, which I'm completely fine with. Apparently, those were supposed to come out this year, right?
I don't know if they'd ever said for sure, but that was, you know, probably what a lot of us were believing. But yeah, this is supposed to be coming out in December. Super Mario Run is coming out in December. Oh, and I suppose I should point out that the game is not free to play. It's a free download, but there is a fixed price for the game. So it's not like you have to pay for add-ons to buy your super mushrooms or your other power-ups or extra lives or anything like that. So I would say that's definitely a good thing in Super Mario Run's favor. But aside from just the traditional side-scrolling action stuff, there's also going to be a mode called Toad Rally. Mm-hmm. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, which is basically like, you know, beat your friends. You get to see a ghost version of them running through the level, a sticker version of them.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And while it's mostly a time attack ghost challenge type mode, the interesting part about it is that when you go through, the Toad characters see what you are doing, and if you do a daring move, as they call it, mm-hmm. then you collect Toads, and then I guess you're building up some sort of virtual mushroom kingdom, and you can then decorate it using the coins you've collected in the game. So it's sort of creating this mini sandbox type of situation. It kind of reminds me of the A-Life stuff they had in some of the Sega games when you would collect mm-hmm. the Chao
yep.
or you know the other characters in Sonic or Knights or whatever. So it's a little like that. And I'm curious to see you know what all that'll have in it. But it's sort of an interesting addition. It's kind of the thing I might have expected to be in the next you know 3DS or Nintendo console entry.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised it plays in portrait orientation mode? Because that, in my head, that just seemed wrong. I guess I kind of am.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like so much of the screen is not being utilized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas I want to know what's coming up in front of me, but mm-hmm. obviously that means you're going to have to scale down all your assets to fit in this portrait, or the portrait orientation, or the landscape orientation.
For me, the whole thing was just, you know, totally out of left field. It's not what I was expecting to see mm-hmm. today. I was expecting the usual Apple stuff, which of course we got. But yeah, I was not expecting Miyamoto to be out there at an Apple event. Kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, for me too.
And there's actually a little bit more collaboration than that as well. Apparently that when iOS 10 launches, they're going to be Nintendo images included in the iMessage app. So if you want to, you know, throw out extra pictures of Mario and Luigi or whatever, you'll be able to do that.
Cool.
Pretty crazy. I'm not like a huge fan of automatic running games, but there have been good ones. The Rayman ones, which were also, you know, they were called Rayman Run, not too different from Super Mario Run. Those weren't bad. Those were actually quite good for that type of game. And, you know, it really makes sense for Mario to follow suit. And, I'm looking forward to it about as much as I can be looking forward to any kind of mobile game. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all. And then that wasn't all they had at this event when it comes to brands that are synonymous with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. There was actually an update about Pokemon Go, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, it was something that I'd been saying for a while now. Shortly after it launched, I remember going on Twitter and saying, you know, this whole Pokemon Go thing makes me think that this would be perfect for the Apple Watch. That would kind of be maybe the killer app for Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now it's actually happening. They are bringing Pokemon Go to Apple Watch. I'm not so convinced it's a killer app anymore. I kind of feel like it would have been if it had happened a few months ago when this thing was at its peak. But yeah, it's actually happening. So you'll be able to use the Apple Watch app to see how far you need to walk to hatch an egg or how many more experience points you need. And of course, it'll notify you if there's a Pokemon or a Pokestop nearby. So it can be really helpful if you want to play that game and not have to be staring at your cell phone the whole time.
For sure. I mean, I felt that was a big crippling thing to have the app open in order to get the distance needed to hatch an egg. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if this fixes that issue, all we need is PvP and Pokemon trading and we're good to go.
Yeah. You know, this thing, you know, was at this massive, huge peak a couple of months ago. And I remember talking about how I would go out to the park just for a walk and I'd see, you know, at least 30 people running around playing Pokemon Go. I went out yesterday and I don't think I saw a single person playing it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anyone anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think probably a big part of that is because, you know, school was started up. I think it was a huge hit during summer because people had more free time. And so it was huge then. But who knows? Maybe this will help reignite interest. Maybe the Pokemon Go Plus will help reignite interest. I'm not sure how the Apple Watch app is really going to fit in because, you know, you have to be kind of affluent to already have an Apple Watch. Certainly, it's not something that everybody owns. But mm-hmm. I'm still glad it's happening. It's, like I said, a sort of a no-brainer idea and something that makes an awful lot of sense. Now, you have an Apple Watch, right?
I do, and it's sitting uncharged in my backpack. That's how useful it's been to me the last month. So this may have me put my Apple Watch back on the charging dock. It's just this thing that I have to constantly charge every night, and if you forget, it's unusable. It's dead after 24 hours, so and shorter even. So I just have to get in the habit of charging it again. And honestly, that's its Achilles heel, the fact that the battery life is so bad. Sounds like the original 3DS, doesn't it? It's true.
I don't remember having that much trouble with it, but maybe I just have a selective memory. I'm not sure. Regardless, once the Apple Watch version of the app goes live, I'd be curious to hear your experiences using it.
For sure. I'm certainly going to charge up my watch for that.
Okay, cool. Also, speaking of Pokemon Go, I should point out that Nintendo just announced that the Pokemon Go Plus will be finally coming out on September 16th. Anyway, there was a lot of excitement coming out of this event, but there was also a lot of excitement coming out of last week's Nintendo Direct. So why don't we move on to that? Scott, what would you say the biggest bit of news coming out of last week's Nintendo presentation was?
Honestly, the whole thing was pretty shocking. All the stuff coming to 3DS is pretty amazing. I have to say, Super Mario Maker 3DS, I didn't expect that at all. Did you? I mean, this, I just didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't.
I mean,
so it makes sense. I mean, you've got this device with a touchscreen.
Well, I wasn't expecting it, but I.
And it just makes a ton of sense, but.
Yeah, totally.
I just in a million years wouldn't have expected that, so.
Well, when the game was first revealed, like, you know, 2 years ago or something at E3, I thought, oh, this is going to be a perfect game for the 3DS. It makes so much sense. And then I found out, oh, it's actually a Wii U game. Okay. And now here we are all this time later, and actually is coming out on 3DS. And like you said, you know, the 3DS has a touchscreen, so it makes it a perfect fit for this game. And, you know, it's going to have almost all of the awesomeness of the Wii U game and all these features and all these bad guys and all this stuff you can use to create Mario levels. But then it's kind of missing a whole bunch of features,
it
too.
It is. And I'm wondering, and I'm afraid to even ask, is that top screen going to be in 3D? And my guess is no. It's not. It's not, right?
I don't think so.
That's kind of garbage for me. The fact that I can't just play your level on my 3DS is, it just feels a little half-baked to me, but
I can
understand the anger that some people have expressed over this. I'm going to be okay with it, I think, just because I didn't expect this at all, so I'll take what I can get, but I hope a future update opens that up a little bit. I understand there's probably going to be compatibility issues between levels across the two systems, but it's just a bummer. It's a bummer.
Well, I don't understand why there are, and I don't understand why there is this big disparity, because you can't upload the levels that you create on 3DS. You can't upload them, put them online. You can't use the Mystery Mushroom costumes, and you can't choose which online levels you play. You can still do the, you know, the 100 Mario Challenge, and you can, you'll get a random smattering of levels online. But if you want to be, you know, if you want to play my latest level or something, there's not really a way to do it. Yeah, well, street pass me. Yeah, that's an easy way to do it.
Is it a guarantee that I'm going to get your level if I street pass you?
Well, I guess we'll have to see how that works out. Yeah. I mean, presumably you select which levels you want to send out via street pass, and it'll figure something out that way. But yeah, it's just kind of weird. It doesn't have real online built in.
Now, I live in a big city and a big tech-centric city, so I'm not too worried about getting street passes to play levels on. But if you're kind of far-flung, I don't see you getting any street passes.
Yeah, I hardly get any street passes now these days.
No, huh? So, yeah, people, I mean, I work with a bunch of nerds, so I get street passes at work. But I know that not everybody has that luxury. So, yeah, I'm kind of, and I'm concerned, you know, it's kind of late in the 3DS's life. How many people are actually going to pick this one up?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, one thing that I thought, you know, would really save this game and could be a huge beneficial feature is if you can somehow manually transfer your levels from the Wii U version to the 3DS version so that you could, you know, maybe start working on one on your Wii U and then transfer to 3DS and work on it, you know, while you're riding the train or whatever, and then, you know, transfer it back to your Wii U in the evening when you're done. And they haven't said that that is a feature, but, you know, they haven't explicitly said that it's not a feature. So I'm hoping that maybe they've just got this extra feature there that they just have decided not to tell us about yet. Because for me, that would be like, okay, this is going to be a must-have game if you can do that.
I'm still going to buy this game, even if it doesn't have anything. just to play, you know, Even the 100 Mario Challenge, I just think it's going to be mm-hmm. fun to have this game on the go.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does have its own features. It has 100 brand new built-in stages, and it also has the collaborative sharing, which is something I would have really liked to have had on Wii U. There were times when I was talking to friends about it, and like, you want to test something before it goes live, and there wasn't really a way to do that. And so that's a really cool feature. Of course, now you can't make it live, so it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, and but, is it collaborative? Because if I make updates to your level, are you going to see those updates on your version of the level? Probably not, right?
I think there is some way it's going like, to do that. I mean, you'll have to trade it.
You start the level, I finish it?
I think you'll have to trade it back and forth manually. Okay. But they talked about how there's this co-op logo that shows up when more than one person works on the level. So they do take it into account when you're, trading levels with other people, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But at the very least, it's a very surprising entry in the 3DS library this year, and it is coming out on December 2nd.
And I only wonder, is this the last big game for this system?
Well obviously, I will tell
obviously
you,
not, because there's more, there's more on the way. But man, it's like this. The 3DS seems to have the longest legs of any of their handhelds. Is this am I crazy? Is that... It's been...
Well, the original Game Boy lasted for eons, way longer than it ever should have. It lasted from, 89 to, 97 or 98. But I think this is the longest running system they've had since then.
Mm-hmm.
And, speaking of this longevity, let's talk about some of the other stuff they announced that's coming out in 2017. For me, the biggest, most exciting one is this new 2D Pikmin platformer.
Yeah, tell me about this, because I'm not a big Pikmin fan, and I can't believe they changed this game into a 2D platformer, and why would they? They have so many other platforming properties like Metroid. Why would they go with Pikmin?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that, and I don't really know anything more about the game than what everybody saw on the Nintendo Direct. But I have to say, I do like what I'm seeing. It's kind of funny that, in interviews, Mr. Miyamoto alluded to, we've got a new Pikmin 4 that's just about ready to go. It's almost on the way. But nobody would have guessed it was going to be a 2D platformer coming to 3DS. So I feel like everybody got a little bit trolled there. But again, that's not to say that it looks bad or anything. Every time a Pikmin game comes out, I think, this looks so cool, this looks so fun, and then I play it for a little bit, and then somehow it winds up on the back burner, and it goes into my backlog, and I don't get back around to finishing it. And then the next one comes, and it's like, now I'm all excited again. So I'm thinking, maybe this time, maybe now that it's a 2D platformer, maybe this will be the one that I'll actually stick with and, see it all the way through to the end in short order. Because we've got Olimar back as lead character. We've still got different kinds of Pikmin with their different abilities. The one thing that does worry me is they say it's designed with action in mind. So, I don't really want my Pikmin experience to be super fast-paced. I'm kind of concerned if it becomes, too action-oriented, because I like the element of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I like what I've seen, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I'm worried that a lot of the action is going to happen on the bottom screen, and so what's the point of the top screen?
Hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I guess that's a good question, but I'm not too worried about that myself. I mean, you're going to have to be doing a lot of touching of the touch screen to make the gameplay work, so,
mm-hmm.
I think that is kind of fair if a lot of it takes place down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they showed footage in the video of, tossing your Pikmin into high up areas, so it gives you an expanded view. They aren't just wasting that top screen. But if most of it takes place on the bottom, I'm okay with that.
I'll have to see.
Yep, we'll have to see how it goes.
This is just bizarre. 2D Pikmin just kind of threw me for a loop. I don't know. I wish it were a Metroid game, but...
Well, I wouldn't mind a Metroid game.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a Metroid game either. A real Metroid game.
But yeah, I think it looks interesting. I am looking forward to it. Now, what about the port of Yoshi's Woolly World? What do you think of that?
I'm super excited for this. And this is my shame. I have not bought Yoshi's Woolly World on the Wii U. So this will be my first Yoshi's Woolly World game.
Well, you're like the perfect audience for this then, aren't you?
I am. the Wii U has just, it's this thing I have to dust off every, you know, month. So yeah, I'm super excited to play it on my 3DS. Super excited. I want a Yoshi Amiibo now.
Well, you'll have your chance to get Yoshi Amiibos. Those are still available at retail. And now there is a new Amiibo thrown into the mix. There is Poochie.
Yeah,
in Poochie. Fact, the game is called Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. He's the little adorable doggy.
Yep.
And he's got his Poochie pups to help you find secrets. And he's even going to be in these 30 animated shorts with Yoshi. They're going to be included on the 3DS game cartridge. So that's all kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this game.
I do have some hangups about it. One being that most of the game is something that I've already experienced on Wii U. Mm-hmm. There are new levels, specific, Poochie levels. And, that's cool to have new content. But the other problem is that the graphics were one of the highlights of the Wii U game and how it made these textures, these yarn textures, look so unbelievable on, the big screen. And I think you're going to probably lose a lot of that scaling it down to 3DS. Now, you've pointed out that the 3DS does not have the most high-resolution screen, so I am a little bit concerned about that.
Yeah, it won't look great, but if it's in 3D, I will forgive it some of that. But yeah, you're right.
Fair enough.
You're gonna lose the detail on those textures.
Even so, the original Yoshi's Woolly World was a very good game, and it's kind of cool to see it being available to a much, much bigger audience, which includes yourself. And as I said, there's the new Amiibo to go along with it, which I already pre-ordered personally. And it's coming out on February 3rd of next year, both in a bundle with the Amiibo and standalone.
So the yarn Poochie is going to be also made of yarn, like Yarn Yoshi?
Yes.
That's cool.
And as I said, I've already got one ordered from Amazon, so looking forward to adding that to my Amiibo collection. Moving on to the next 3DS release that's coming out in 2017, we've got Mario Sports Superstars, which is another one that completely, came out of nowhere as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, for sure. That is a bit of a head-scratcher and something I'm completely not interested in, but sell me on it, Christopher Hoffman. It's a bunch of mini-games, right?
Well, supposedly, they're saying these are full-scale sports. They aren't just mini-games. It's got soccer, baseball, tennis, golf, and then it's got a horsey thing, equestrian thing.
Horses are animals. Come on.
I'm always amused by the image of Luigi riding a horse, but let me be honest with you. I have horse fear. I've had bad experience with horses in my past, and while I am content to ride a pony in my Zelda games, just something that's specifically all about horsies kind of freaks me out.
Well, you can you can play some other. I bet if you play only one of these sports, if they're full games, you may get your money's worth.
Yeah, that's the thing, and that's something we've talked about before. Is how when they've done some of the recent games, like the Ultra Smash Tennis game on Wii U, it felt like it really was undercooked. Like it really had just a handful of features. And it's been the same way with some of these other recent sports games. But now they're basically combining all their best stuff. We have tennis and golf, which were always the best Mario sports games. And then we've got soccer, which they've gone on record saying, this is a real full-on 11 versus 11 soccer experience. So they're basically taking Mario Strikers, and then there's also a Mario Baseball game, and they're taking these four properties, put them all together, throw them in a blender, mashing up some horses and throwing them in too, and boom, it's all in one game. And there's not going to be an RPG mode, we already know that, but there will be regular single matches, there will be single player tournaments. There will be local multiplayer, and there will also be online. So when you compare it to some of the other just, single sports Mario sports games, I think, this is going to possibly be everything those are and more, times five. So that is my optimistic sales pitch to you on that one, Scott.
Okay. I'm going to wait.
Well, you're going to have to wait because there's no date on it yet. It's coming out next spring, so we'll see how that goes. I'm not the biggest sports fan, but Nintendo has done some great Mario sports games in the past, so I am cautiously optimistic. And, you know, just wait for spring, see how things are looking then, and take it from there.
Great.
So let's see, what else do we have in the Nintendo Direct? Oh, there was an update on Animal Crossing New Leaf. You know, we've known that that's been coming for some time, but they talked a little bit more about it. Basically, what they said is that there are going to be 50 new amiibo cards coming out to go with this update. And I guess they're going to bring, like, some new villagers that haven't been in New Leaf at all, and they'll be visiting you. Like, they'll drive RVs into your town or something like that if you scan their amiibo cards.
Yeah.
Does this improve your opinion on this anymore? Does this get you any more excited about
this? It's not going to make me fire up Animal Crossing, but I know, because of Twitter, I know people are out there still playing this. There are kids out there still playing this. This is their go-to game. So I love that there's a new update for this. It's obviously not adding money into their pockets, but for every new seven-year-old in the universe, there's Animal Crossing for them, and they're going to buy that with the 3DS when they turn seven on their seventh birthday, and they're going to have an update now. The world is making tons more seven-year-olds and eight-year-olds, and that's where these games are going and who's playing them.
I suppose this is true. They haven't given an exact date yet for when the update comes out, but they have said that these new amiibo cards are coming out on December 2nd. So we can probably assume that that update's going to be coming sometime right around then. There's also a lot more details about this update that they just still haven't divulged. You know, they announced this thing a few months ago, and they're like, you know, go to our website for details. I went there, and there were, like, no details. So now they have this Nintendo Direct, and they're like, okay, here's how it's going to work. 50 new cards. Works with all the other amiibo figurines and all the other amiibo cards, and even some of the non-Animal Crossing ones. But guess what? We're still not going to give you all the details, and you have to wait till later. They said there's going to be another Animal Crossing-specific Nintendo Direct in the near future where we'll find out all about this stuff.
Guess we'll have to wait.
Yep. Have to wait. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you still playing Animal Crossing?
Oh, no. You're, no, definitely not. Okay. I don't think I've touched in a couple of years. I'm afraid that all my villagers have moved out or mutinied and killed me or something. That's probably a horrible, tragic wasteland. Yeah. But this update will get me to play. So it's you know, it's doing its job, I suppose. Now, are you looking forward to the new eShop game, Tank Troopers?
No, I'm not. Are you? I can't get excited about Tank Troopers. No, I can't.
I'm not really excited about it either. When I see it, I'm reminded of Tank, Tank, Tank. That game that came out right at the Wii U launch. And
it was
tanked.
A Wii launch game. Oh, man.
It was. It was a Wii launch retail game, and apparently it tanked so hard they then had to re-release it as a free-to-play game because no one was buying it. No offense to the fine folks at Bandai Namco or Namco Bandai who published that game. So this kind of looks like that, but, you know, it's a little more Nintendo-ish. You know, it's a silly tank game. It's got your local six-player action with silly characters and zany over-the-top attacks, you know, elemental attacks do different kinds of things. And it looks, you know, possibly kind of fun, but I'm with you. I'm not really sold on it either.
I'm just not a multiplayer game kind of guy, which is really awful thing to say, but yeah.
Well, you know, it does have single-player mode. Maybe, you know, we'll find out. It's amazing. Maybe you said you had a lot of friends at work who are into that, and it does have the whole six-player thing going on, as well as download play.
Yeah, maybe there's an awesome demo. Maybe an awesome demo will sell me on this game.
Yeah, but there probably will be a demo of this one. So it's supposed to be coming out this winter, so I guess we'll find out more about it then.
Okay.
So I might not be excited about that, but I was super excited about what they had to say about The Legend of Zelda and our favorite news topic, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
Oh, Amiibo.
That's right. There are Zelda 30th anniversary Amiibo. And I think I've said on the show before, that's something I was really, really hoping they were going to do.
You
and
wanted that 8-bit Zelda?
Oh, I really wanted the 8-bit
Link character. You
I
did
can't
want
believe
that.
You just called it Zelda. Oh, yeah, I definitely wanted that.
I meant
big time.
You know,
I thought that would
Zelda
be
universe
the perfect.
Character.
I know what you meant. Sorry. Just giving you a hard time. But yeah, I totally wanted an 8-bit Link to go with my 8-bit Mario and my 8-bit Luigi, which does not exist, but really, really should.
Yeah, how hard could that be? Come on, give us that, right?
I don't know. I don't know why they got their hate on for poor Luigi. I don't know. He must have done something horrible in that year, Luigi, a few years ago. Didn't pull his own weight.
That.
So
yep.
So no Pixel Amiibo for him, but there really should be one. But back to these, you know, I was really hoping, yeah. Oh, 30th anniversary, there should be all kinds of Zelda Amiibo, you know, just take stuff from various aspects of the franchise. And they didn't quite go that far, but they are giving us four characters from throughout Zelda history. We got the Pixel Link, we have Link and Zelda from Wind Waker, and then we have Link from Ocarina of Time, where he is playing his ocarina or possibly munching on a blue burrito. It's a little hard to tell just from looking. So are you going to buy these? Obviously I am.
I'm tempted. I'm so tempted by that 8-bit Link. I'll have to see what it looks like from the side. From the front, it looks a little funky.
Well, that's right. He does have sort of that weird nose that's sticking out there, which he should have, because from the side,
it's a nose.
He does have kind of a giant nose. But it, like, is, I've it's never, touching his shield.
And in my head, I didn't expect it to have a nose. And so I just want to see how goofy it looks. It looks kind of goofy. I almost wish it's they did goofy. The side. Because him from the side, I think Link from the side would have been a little more iconic. For some reason.
Well,
what
I
do you
guess
think?
We'll see.
All right. I know they wanted to show his shield and stuff.
I think showing from the front is the more iconic look, for me anyway. But hopefully it looks good from all angles, because the Mario one does. So I have high hopes for this one. Of course, I'm all in. I pre-ordered all of these the moment they went up on Amazon. And, you know, personally, I would love for this to just be series one. I'd love to see them do a second series. You know, some of my favorite characters in the Zelda franchise are Wind Waker Ganon and Zelda as she appeared in Skyward Sword. So those would be, you know, among my most won amiibo if they were going to do Series 2. But seriously, they could make, like, amiibo of every Zelda and Ganon and Link and, you know, every, you know, B-tier character from throughout the entire series, and I would be all over it. Tingle? Sure. Error? Definitely. Groose? Sign me up. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, they can just keep making these all day long, and I'll be right there to collect them.
Yeah, I think, honestly, if I had a collectible for everything that's sitting in the Badge Arcade waiting for me to collect, I would buy more of these things, I think. But for now, I'm just happy with my one amiibo.
All right. Well, they come out on December 2nd. Maybe you'll go into the store and see them and you'll be blown away and you won't be able to resist.
I honestly think the Zelda one looks the best out of all four of these, but...
The Wind Waker Zelda?
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks pretty cool. And I can see why you say that. I mean, burrito-eating Link is kind of in a sort of weird position.
It is weird.
And Wind Waker Link, and we've already got a previous Wind Waker Link... But we had not got a Wind Waker Zelda. And, of course, those two are being sold in a two-pack. Mm-hmm. And then, as you pointed out, you know, there are a little bit of weirdness going on with 8-bit Sprite Link. But it's still a very accurate representation.
Yeah.
But, you know, little quibbles aside, I'm still very impressed with all this stuff.
Me too.
You know, while they were talking about the 30th anniversary of Zelda Amiibo, they also mentioned the Zelda books coming out from Dark Horse. And we've talked about one of them. The Art and Artifacts book that is coming out next year, but they said there were three of them, and so we don't know what the other two are, but I did think that was kind of cool if they mentioned that, and you know, if they're anything like Hyrule Historia and what I expect Art and Artifacts to be like, I will definitely be on board for that as well.
Me too. I wish they would do one for the Mario universe and maybe one for the Metroid universe. I would buy a lot of those things.
Yeah, you know, they actually did make a similar... Mario book in Japan that came out last year for the Super Mario Brothers 30th anniversary. I was really hoping that somebody would pick that up for North America and translate and localize it, because it's very text heavy. I picked up the Japanese one, but I didn't really get that much out of it because there is so much Japanese text, but in English it would be awesome. So I hope that Dark Horse or somebody else decides to bring that out. The 30th anniversary might be over, but you know, Mario is timeless, so anytime they wanted to bring that out would be fine with me.
Me too.
So we've been talking about all the stuff that they announced for later this year or early next year. But then there were also things that they talked about. And they're like, oh, and guess what? It's available right now. And one of those things was the update to Street Pass. So there are now 5 new Street Pass minigames that you can buy and download. Slot Car Rivals, Market Crashers, Feed Me, Me Trek, and Ninja Launcher. Did you get any of these?
I did. I am a sucker. I bought the entire pack.
Oh my gosh.
I've chosen.
You could get Slot Car Rivals or Market Crashers for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those did you go with?
It didn't even matter, did it? Because I bought them.
It ultimately didn't.
But I bought Market Crashers because I was like, oh, this one is a little more interesting to me for some reason, even though it's dreadfully boring.
See, I wouldn't think that anybody would think that a stock market game sounded interesting.
Yeah.
So I went with Slot Car Rivals for my freebie.
I did go with the stock market game, but I enjoyed it enough that I thought it was going to be boring, and it wasn't. It was fun.
It's about
looking at a chart and trying to buy low and sell high. I bought the other games. I haven't played one of them yet, except for Market Crashers. I haven't gotten very many street passes between then and now, but did you play any of these?
Yeah, actually, I bought the whole lot as well, and I have played all of them.
Oh, wow.
Market Crashers, it's all right. I mean, you know, basically, you just have to, you know, listen to what they say and use your predictive powers. And when you see it dip low, it's like, okay, buy. And when it goes high, you know, sell. It's a little bit more exciting than, you know, hearing the word stock market make it sound. So it's all right. There's really not much to feed me, but I still rather like that one because, A, anything involving food, I'm kind of a sucker for. I always find that to be amusing in my video games. It also ties into Find Me, which I've enjoyed tremendously, so that was kind of neat. And it, you know, leads to really goofy situations like seeing the Mii's of Mr. T and Chris Slate eating dinner together, so that's always fun. But really, you get a different kind of food depending on what color that Mii is wearing, and then you try to make a dish out of it. The gameplay is almost nothing. So
okay.
I kind of enjoy it despite that. And, you know, for something that's just really quick hit, pick up and play, don't really need to invest any time with it, it really works well as a Street Pass game. But, yeah, it's very, very shallow. Mii Trek is not terribly deep either, but I do enjoy running around the map and trying to explore and find stuff. So that one actually might be my favorite one of the group. And Ninja Launcher is also just really simple. Just, you know, line up your characters. You see the trajectory that you're... Yeah, if you haven't played that, here's the weird thing. For some reason, your Mii gets stripped down naked and launched out of a cannon. And so you have to line up the other Mii characters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to see that hot, naked Mii action. So you line up the other characters in the flight trajectory and use it to grab power-ups, and then you have an automatic little duel with an enemy there at the end. So as long as you can line up your characters quickly and accurately, that seems like all there is to it. Maybe the more I play, maybe there'll be, you know, wind and other things that, you know, mess up the trajectory and see how it goes. But I think it might be a little too simple for its own good. Mm-hmm. And as for the Slot Car Rivals, that one probably is the one that's most feels like a game, in that you actually have to have skill to be able to play it. But it really just amounts to holding down the gas, releasing for a second when you hit a curve, and then hitting the gas again to get a little turbo boost.
So you're not controlling the car at all, really?
No, it's a slot car, it's on a predetermined path. Yeah. All you're doing is holding down the acceleration button.
Okay.
And if you go through the red zone in the corner while you're still holding down the acceleration button, you go flying off the track, which then, you know, takes a split second to get back on there. So it kind of has some gameplay to it, but I don't know. I'm not really feeling that one for some reason. They kind of make it hard to see what's coming up on the course, even though there are two viewpoints. And so I'm finding that to be a little bit of a source of frustration. Not too much, but I feel like, oh, they're making it challenging because you can't really see what's happening. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like any of these games as much as I liked the fishing game or the zombie game. But aside from the initial tutorials, they do a really good job of just being really quick in and out, fast-paced sorts of affairs. And if you are obsessed with Street Pass, like apparently the two of us are, then I think they are good titles to get.
Mm-hmm. My big takeaway from it was the fast version of the Mii Plaza. and making the games move a little faster.
Yeah, there was more to this update than just the games. There's this quick pausa mode.
I love it. I love it. It's the way it should have been in the beginning. It's mm-hmm. it's painfully slow, the original Mii Plaza, and also interactions within the games, within the other older games, have been sped up. So it feels you can get What is it? The
The thing I've noticed is that in the puzzle piece swapping game, now there's a bonus chance when you get puzzle pieces from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of just getting one puzzle piece, I exchanged with somebody and I got 14 puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the same thing.
Puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one. You know, I passed, you know, two people. One of them gave me 9 pieces. One of them gave me 13. And so I had completed a puzzle with just, you know, 2 street pass guests. So that was pretty amazing.
It felt like now everyone I'm pass is going to give me multiple pieces. Is that how you feel?
It seems that way. I mean, maybe it depends on how many times you've street passed them or something like that. I don't know.
I feel like this is minimizing the amount of time I've spent playing this game. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely more streamlined is probably what you're saying,
I've
right?
I've sunk so much time into this. Anyway, I've spent so much time playing this dumb game that now getting 14 pieces at once almost feels cheating a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. It's for like, those of us who went through the old way, and you know, I had almost all my pieces on the original 3DS system that I had, and that's like, oh, well, now you can get them super fast. But, you know, I think it's fair to let people catch up because, you know, if you don't have, if you're a new owner, you're like never going to get the 2,000 pieces or whatever it is to get all these things. So I appreciate the effort being made to allow people to catch up. Or they might not have had, you know, the benefits of being in office with lots of other people that have 3DSs to street pass with.
But yeah, I like the fast mode. It's so much easier to launch, and the games launch quicker too, it feels, but I might just be imagining that.
Yeah, and if you've ponied up for the mostly pointless premium mode, now you can queue 100 guests at once, which will be pretty cool for going to, you know, trade shows and events and things like that.
Oh, wait a second. Do I need that birthday VIP mode to get that 100?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yep, that's what premium is. Uh-huh.
Yes.
I did not pay for that. That looked like
garbage. I did, and I regret it. It's the worst thing I've ever spent money on.
Well, I could
just taken that $5 and set it on fire.
But I do want to have 100 people at my gate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Nintendo should be charging you $5 for that. That should be available to everybody.
So I have to pay $5 if I want that. Well, you know what? What's going to happen is I'm going to go to a big event. I'm going to go to a big convention, and I'm going to be I'm going to be like in the line to get my ticket, and I'm just going to buy the thing. Because, you know, you can't, if you go to a big event like a PAX or an E3 or a Comic-Con, you're going to get 100 street passes in an hour. It's going to happen. And you're not going to be able to take advantage of it unless you churn through those 10 people every 5 minutes. So, yeah, it's going to be something I'm going to have to buy now.
But the other game that went live right after the Nintendo Direct was Picross 3D Round 2.
Yes.
And I played the demo. I don't regret that.
I regret it. You played the demo and you don't regret the demo? I regret every minute of that demo. Did you play the first Picross 3D?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I didn't even know there was a Picross 3D. And I love Picross. So this was new to me. I did not enjoy this experience. For one,
really,
it's called Picross 3D. It's in 2D, everybody. It's in 2D. You're playing the game on the bottom screen. And then when you finish the puzzle, then the piece moves up to the top screen and you can see it in 3D. So you're playing a 2D game and they're calling it Picross 3D. That's my first bone to pick.
Well, it doesn't have scary my second bone to pick. Stopic 3D, but you know, the models you are fiddling around with are in 3D.
Okay. And here's my other bone to pick. Don't give me a demo of a game and then just give me the tutorial for the game.
Okay, that part's kind of weird.
That was weak. And I'm telling you right now, it did not sell me on that game. If they gave me just one decent puzzle to solve after that tutorial, I might have
really
bought
this
thing.
Those last that, three didn't do it for you?
No, that did not do it. Those are still tutorial levels. The
last three? There were three of them in that last chapter, and I thought those, you know, like the last one especially, actually was a little bit challenging.
It was challenging. It was challenging. But... No, it wasn't too challenging, but it also didn't make much sense. I don't think the tutorial did a good enough job explaining this game. And then, yeah.
Well, I'm well versed with it, so I was kind of wishing I could skip all the tutorial stuff.
Oh,
but I still
had
a good time with it.
Well, I didn't like it. And I'll tell you what, I love Picross. Right now I'm playing through Picross on the Game Boy, so that's how much I like Picross. So that's where we're at. I did not like this.
All right,
didn't like it.
Fair enough.
And also, I
did enjoy it, but not enough to buy it.
So are those Picross 3D models, do they venture into the world of Nintendo, or are they all like cats and buggies and dump trucks?
Well, apparently it works with Amiibo. So if you scan in certain Amiibo, you will then get those characters in Picross blocky form. So yes,
okay.
I believe there are
puzzle.
Nintendo characters in there. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that's the impression I've given.
Well, you're not selling me on Amiibo here. All right. Well,
yeah, I mean,
hey, it's a demo. Everybody else listening can go download the thing, but
yep, totally.
I really wanted to like it and I didn't like it. Maybe I wasn't expecting the two different colored blocks and
that was kind of a surprise.
I feel like
they didn't have that in the original.
Oh, they didn't. Okay.
Nope.
I feel like it should have been more like Sudoku, where if I just sit there, it's just a pleasurable fun diversion and I'm gonna get a challenge out of it, and this just felt kind of just frustrating. I don't know. And also it was a demo and it was a tutorial, so maybe I'm harshly judging this thing, but yeah, I don't feel like I want to pay for it.
I feel like I had a much better impression of it than you did. I certainly enjoyed the first Picross 3D. I definitely enjoyed the demo of this one. I did not enjoy it enough to actually buy it though, because it is a full priced $30 game.
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit steep to me.
Yeah, I would $10. $10
like it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for $10, I would have immediately bought it.
But we're not going to get a retail version of this, right?
That doesn't sound like it's in the plan. Just like with the latest Rhythm Heaven game, that was only released as a download. I think this is the same way. But I know a lot of puzzle fans have been waiting for this for a long time. So for all of them, I'm very happy that it did finally come over in some form at all.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to some other news that actually had nothing to do with the Nintendo Direct. Did you hear about the announcement from Renegade Kid?
No, I did not.
Well, there is some sad news from Renegade Kid. They were a great developer that made games like Mutant Muds and Zeo Drifter, and before that, stuff like Moon and Dimension the Ward. But now they have shut down the company. It is no longer going to be around, which is kind of sad.
What platforms were they publishing these games on?
Well, they did a lot of stuff on Nintendo. You know, Mutant Muds was one of the first
download
Mutant
Muds,
titles.
Okay. I know
Yeah,
Mutant
that was
Muds.
On 3DS.
Mm-hmm, I have that.
They did some stuff on DS, and then they've poured a lot of stuff over to, you know, other consoles. I think that Zeo Drifter, which stars a 3DS game, ended up on Vita and maybe even PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's no need to get out the hanky, because even though Renegade Kid is gone, the creators, the two main partners, have just split off and then created two separate companies. Jules Watson, who was the main guy behind most of their 2D stuff, behind Zeo Drifter and Mutant Muds, he has already announced his first new 3DS project. And he had already announced that he was doing his own company called Atui, and they were focusing on mobile stuff before, but now that's going to be his main focus. They're doing stuff on mobile and on 3DS, and they have a new game coming out called Chicken Wiggle, and it is a 2D platformer that emphasizes a grappling mechanic. Yes, you play as a chicken that has a worm on your back, and the worm works as like a grappling hook to pull you either horizontally or vertically across pits and add some extra depth and challenge to the platforming gameplay. And just knowing, you know, what they've done before, what Renegade Kid has done before, I think that this one has a lot of promise. Plus, this game also has a level editor mode, and it will let you share your levels online, unlike a certain other make-your-own-levels game on 3DS.
Hmm. So is it play like Bionic Commando? What kind of grappling
doesn't seem to be
hook type
the
stuff?
Way the grappling works in the video they showed was you could either pull yourself straight up or straight across, either horizontally or vertically. There didn't seem to be any diagonal grappling and swinging like in Bionic Commando. But it still looks like it'd be pretty fun. Of course, that could be in there, and we just haven't seen it yet. The video they've shown wasn't super extensive or anything. Mm-hmm. But I've got hopes. Got some hopes for it, especially if it's available on the cheap. I don't know if you ever played Zeo Drifter, but that was a really, really good game. I mean, the other stuff was too. But Zeo Drifter I especially loved. You should pick that up. You should pick that up on 3DS if you ever get a chance. It's very, very good.
I'll put it on my list. I'm not kidding. I'll put it on the list. It's a Z and an X. X, right? Is it like a space game?
It's kind of like Metroid. It's like Metroid-like.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool. One other new game announcement I wanted to discuss was Sega 3D Classics Collection 3, which has been announced in Japan. It's going to include the games that haven't been compiled into a physical release so far from the eShop. So it's going to have Sonic 2, Gunstar Heroes, Streets of Rage 2, Afterburner 2, and Super Hang-On, plus apparently 4 brand new titles that have not been released in the eShop. They've announced that Turbo Outrun is going to be one of those, and there are going to be 3 others, including one that was based on a fan vote. Mm-hmm. It's coming out December 22nd in Japan. Do you have any interest in this?
Yes. This is exactly why I have a Japanese 3DS. Because we're not getting this game in the U.S. We're probably not.
It hasn't been announced, but we did get the last one.
We got the first one. Oh, we got the second one. They didn't give us the first one. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, it burns my chaps my butt.
I imagine that because the first one did not have Sonic, but the second one's like, oh, well, Sonic's so marketable, we can always sell anything with Sonic in it, so we'll put that out. And then this one's also got Sonic. So I'm crossing my fingers for this one.
I would really love to see this in the U.S., but I'm not worried because I have a Japanese 3DS. I've had to buy a dumb console that I can't read to play games like this. But
depending on what the other games are, I might purchase the Japanese one right away also. If it were up to you, what would these other games be? You could choose from Sega's classic arcade or console library.
What was the hologram game they had? Remember that?
Time Traveler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be cool? Sega.
That does make sense for 3D.
Sega had a lot of great arcade games. These are going to be quirky choices here.
All right.
Zaxxon,
that's not a weird one at all.
Really, really fun space shooter game.
And I think it works. Isometric one?
It is isometric, but it works really well in 3D when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zaxxon, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, which was a great arcade game. I would love it. I know it's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Yeah, that one never would happen, but I would be so over that. I actually bought I have the arcade ROM of that game.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can run that in my arcade machine.
I had no idea. Never got a home port. I'm coming to your house. That's awesome.
I mean, there were home versions of that game, but they were completely different from the arcade games. So, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And number three, Golden Axe. Why don't we have Golden Axe?
That is a very good question. That would be my number one pick. If I could pick anything to add to this, it would absolutely be Golden Axe. I love Golden Axe.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially love the arcade-only sequel, Golden Axe Revenge of Death Adder. Yeah, I think those would be perfect. I mean, at first, I thought, well, a hack-and-slash 2D game like that doesn't really make sense for 3D classics. But after seeing Streets of Rage 1 and 2 and how good those are and how perfectly and beautiful they work on 3DS, yeah, I think that Golden Axe would be great. And that's what I would want to have on there more than anything.
Did you have another game on your list?
Yeah, the one other that I would choose would be Super Monaco GP, the arcade version.
Oh, yeah, that was a great game. Mm-hmm.
I remember when that came out on Genesis way, way, way back in the day. I was pretty disappointed in the Genesis version, but I loved it in the arcades. And so I'd love to see them take that, bring it back, dust it off, and put it in 3D as part of this collection. So, I'm not going to hold my breath too much, but those would all be really great choices to have on there. Well, that's been a lot of news. So why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we will talk about some recent game impressions as well as our big topic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss some recent Nintendo game impressions before we get on to our big topic. First and foremost, I finally had a chance to sit down and spend a little bit of quality time with Metroid Prime Federation Force.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. For real. Because I haven't played it yet, and I've heard, you know, heard nothing but bad things, and then I heard a lot of good things, and now I want to hear really what it's all about.
Well, the main takeaway that I got from Federation Force is that it reminded me that I am not a big fan of first-person shooter games.
Ooh, all right. I hear it's very tactical. It's kind of like a... Please tell me, because I only know what I've read on the review site. So.
Well, I mean, it's definitely more of a shooter. It is really not a Metroid game, and I think we already knew that. There's not a whole lot of, you know, non-linear exploration and getting new powers and things like that, which is, you know, what Metroid is all about. And that's why, even though I'm not a big first-person shooter fan, I still liked Metroid Prime, and I still like games like BioShock. But this is much more of a pure shooter. You know, you have to choose the weapons you're going to carry before you start the level, and it really is just a lot more about the action. I mean, there are certainly puzzles in there as well. Just the second level, there are some areas where you have to push a ball into a hole to open up some doors, and you know, there's some very heavy puzzle elements involved in doing that. You know, how to get past the obstacles, how to, you know, get from point A to point B. But overall, it is certainly more of a shooter experience than what I, you know, traditionally expect out of Metroid. On the other hand, you know, it certainly nails the atmosphere right. It's very moody. You get this great sense of desolation if you're playing in single-player mode, which I was. And I do like the controls, although I have to say the motion controls that you use for aiming, you know, that can really mess up with the 3D visuals. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, do I want to switch to you know, using the right stick, or do I want to turn off the 3D? I don't really want to turn off the 3D. So yeah, that was kind of a bit of an issue for me, was that those two things, the motion controls and the stereoscopic 3D, are just sort of at odds with each other.
So even with the face tracking on the new 3DS, you still felt like using the motion controls was messing up the 3D?
Oh yeah, definitely, because you know, you're tilting this thing mm-hmm. all over the place to be able to aim with it. And so, yeah, that really throws it off. I guess I'm also still not a fan of the, you know, the aesthetic overall, you know, this sort of, you know, SD aesthetic with the big heads and the small mm-hmm. bodies. And I don't understand why the characters are SD and then the mechs are SD as well. It's just kind of a strange visual choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I walked away just kind of thinking, yeah, this really isn't a game for me. I can see how it can be fun if you're a first-person shooter fan. I could see how it could be fun if you have, you know, three other friends who are into first-person shooter type stuff. But it did just sort of confirm for me, oh, it's really not that Metroid-y, and I'm probably, you know, I'm probably not going to go back to it.
So you're just literally not going to play this anymore. And there were a bunch of other modes in the game, right? There were like three different modes in the game, right?
Well, the other big mode is Blast Ball, which you can download that mode specifically from the eShop and play that as a standalone thing. So, yeah, those are the two main things. There's the Adventure mode, which you can do solo or multiplayer, local or online, and then there is the Blast Ball mode. And I played that before, and it's okay. Who knows? Maybe if I you know, find some other friends who are into this, maybe it will change my perspective on the thing. But, yeah, just because I'm not really a first-person shooter kind of guy, I think that, I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time going back to this one. On the other hand, if you do like Metroid-style games, if you like traditional Metroid-style games, then we have Axiom Verge, which came out last week on the Wii U. And so far, I would say it is very, very good. You know, delivers basically, you know, everything you would kind of want out of a traditional 2D Metroid. Have you picked this one up yet in any way, shape, or form?
Not yet. And it's definitely at the top of my list. I almost was going to play it this weekend, but I ended up playing a game that we got a code for from one of our listeners. So,
oh, yes, we'll be talking about that momentarily.
I definitely am going to pick it up. I definitely am going to pick this up because I saw it on a speedrun of it. I fell in love with the game, and I honestly feel like I want to wait until it's out on the 3DS, but we'll see how long I hold
out. I don't think it's been announced for 3DS yet.
Oh, I did not. Ooh, well, that's a...
Yeah, you might be waiting a long time.
Ooh.
But yeah, so far, Axiom Verge, I mean, I played on PS4 a little bit, but, one thing led to another, I didn't get back to it, but now I'm playing it on Wii U, and I'm really digging it. You know, it's funny, because I got Metroid Prime Federation Force on the one hand, and I got Axiom Verge on the other, and it's like, well, which one do you want to play for a Metroid experience? Definitely Axiom Verge, because it's, like I said, everything that you loved about classic Metroid, just 2D, non-linear, exploration-driven action-adventure. You get new power-ups, and sometimes it's stuff that you kind of expect, like a new gun or a jumping enhancement. But then they've also sort of gone the extra mile and made things you would never expect. Like there's this thing that sort of works with corruption, I guess. You like corrupt the data you encounter. And so you can corrupt weak enemies and make them become a non-threat, or you can see some weird little glitch in the background and you can remove the corruption, so now it's a platform you can walk on. And there's also a way to phase through certain walls that I found to be fairly innovative. The drill, you get a drill early on at the beginning, and that's kind of a unique power that's not like things you have in Metroid. I've still got a long way to go, but this mix of the traditional Metroid play and these new kind of weapons are really doing it for me. Plus, it nails the whole mysterious and moody and atmospheric vibe very, very well also. You're sort of tossed into this. You don't know what's going on. You're not entirely sure what's happening, but you know that you can run and jump and you're going to gain some new skills, so let's just go nuts and figure out what's going on in this world. So, yeah, I give this a very high recommendation for sure.
And how much is it in the eShop?
Yeah, that one is $20. So, but well worth every penny, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a good game. The third game that I wanted to touch on was something that one of our listeners was asking us about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we were doing some letter answering, and we got to this question about Freedom Planet for Wii U, and we hadn't actually played it. So then a couple of listeners actually sent us some codes for the game. So we got one from Jeremy, and we got one from Joey T, and so we were able to try out Freedom Planet.
Yeah, that was so cool. Thanks so much for sending those.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. And Scott, what are your impressions?
I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to.
Yeah, me too.
The art style wasn't sold on, and then I wasn't even... I honestly downloaded this game with zero concept of what I was getting into, what the game was. And as I started playing it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm playing a Sonic game. It's just what
well,
felt
that's what
like
I had heard beforehand.
100%
felt a Sonic
very
much
game.
Like a Sonic game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it really does. It really does feel like a Sonic game. But there's a good reason for that. And that's because it actually started out as a Sonic fan game. It was something that the developer created. It's like, oh, this is my own Sonic game. Kind of like that controversial Metroid 2 remake that Nintendo put the kibosh on recently.
That's right. This and that guy, I just want to break out and just say, that guy needs to just get a different tile set and redo the graphics, and we got a new game, and it'll be awesome, and I will play it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, totally. That's basically what happened here, was that instead of trying to make a Sonic game, the creator was like, okay, well, I'm going to, change this. I'm going to reskin it. I'm going to give it all new characters. But it's still going to play like Sonic the Hedgehog, so it's very inspired by Sonic, and it's got all the loops and all the corkscrews and all that stuff that you associate with Sonic the Hedgehog, the wide-open level design. But it's got, these brand-new original characters. I think all the playable characters are actually female in this game, as opposed to the dudeness of Sonic and Tails and Knuckles.
Yeah, and that was refreshing.
These characters, sort of resemble.
Yep.
But, it's got a lot of story going on to it. But as far as just the platforming goes, I had quite a lot of fun.
I did, too. The levels are enormous. and you get to play as one of two different characters, and they both have different abilities. The one has like
there's a third character you get later on, but yeah, it does start out with just the choice of two.
Oh yeah, that was an unlockable character I didn't unlock, but yeah. Do you know what that third character is?
I've encountered her, but I haven't actually played as her yet. Okay. So
the one character's ability is like a double jump and also kind of like a blast jump mode. And the other character has like a motorcycle power up, which is really cool. I believe the first character has a dash mode, and the second character doesn't have that dash mode. They have this motorcycle. So yeah, it's like this Sonic Spin Dash basically.
But yeah, any way you look at it, it stands on its own pretty well, even though you can see the influences. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really glad our listeners were able to, turn us on to this. We're able to try out a new platformer that wasn't really on my radar before.
Yeah, there's a lot to explore. It's a fun game, and I highly recommend it. The jumping's a little floaty, but once you get past that, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll get used to it in no time.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're waiting for a new console Sonic and you're just shaking your fist like we are that Sonic Mania is not coming out on Nintendo, maybe Freedom Planet will fit the bill. All right. Well, do you think we should move on to our big topic this week?
I think so.
Okay. Well, it's actually going to be a very small topic because this has been a pretty long show. So we're going to do something that's fairly bite-sized this week. Therefore, our big mini topic is going to be our top three Mario power-ups. Now, there have been a lot of Mario games over the years. We celebrated the 30th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers last year. And, in that time, there's been all kinds of stuff. It starts with the Super Mushroom and the Fire Flower and, Raccoon Suit, Frog Suit. You're getting the Winged Hat, turning into a rabbit in, Super Mario Land 2.
Mm-hmm.
Going and, getting transformations like Bee Mario and Boo Mario in Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguin Suit, the Propeller Hat in the new Super Mario Brothers games. So we've got all this stuff to think about. There's a lot of cool things that you can do with Mario. What would you say is one of your top three Mario power-ups?
I feel like this is a cop out.
Okay.
I love Fire Mario, and I know how basic it feels now, but the fact that you can count on it being in nearly every single Mario game is just kind of, I don't know, comforting. And it's...
Well, there's nothing wrong with that
one. It's super powerful, and I choose it over a lot of other power-ups, even when that other power-up may be more advantageous, more powerful. Yeah, Fire Mario.
Well, I can see where you're coming from. I mean, especially when you go back to the original Super Mario Brothers, and that was like the ultimate. It was like, well, this is the thing. Now I can finally go on the offensive. I don't have to just stomp on enemies. And now I can, take out the piranha plants and the spinies that there was no way to kill without having this, this ability before. And that was one of the great things about the original Super Mario is that you always knew which one was the best, and it was Fire Mario. Nowadays, it's like, oh, well, I have fire, but do I want to switch the thing that can fly? Or, you have to think about it and balance up. But back then, it was like, okay, there's no question. Fire is clearly the best. And it's still cool even today. But, back then, it was totally, totally cool.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I definitely like it, but you didn't make
not on your top three.
Not in my top three.
I'm more of a purist.
But it's an all-time great.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But I'm going to pick the hammer suit from Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, all right.
And
that's a hard-to-get power-up.
It is. And that's probably the main reason that I'm picking it. It's not because I loved using it in the game or anything like that. And I don't even remember it being very advantageous in the game. But I remember it was just such a rare power-up to find. And first of all, the idea of dressing up as a Hammer Brother is just pretty cool.
Yeah.
Being able to, because the Hammer Brothers, they're really annoying. They're really obnoxious enemies in Mario 1 and Mario 3. And then to be able to turn the tables and like, haha, now I have your hammers. And I'm going to lay the smackdown on you guys. It's definitely a cool thought.
Yeah.
And it's another one that lets Mario, you know, go on the offensive in a new and different way. But, you know, once you would get that suit, it's like, man, I don't want to lose this because it's so hard to find. And, you know, in that game, you couldn't go back and re-enter levels. And if you got one from, you know, one of the treasure houses, it'd be like, oh, man, when do I use this? Because, you know, if I use it at the wrong place and lose it, or, you know, grab a firefly by accident, then I've totally lost it. But still, despite all that, I just thought it was a really unique ability. And just because of the rarity, it made it, you know, extra cool, as well as, you know, turning the tables on the enemies. Yeah. And on top of all that, if you managed to actually wear it while defeating one of the bosses and rescuing one of the rulers of the Mushroom World in that game, you know, you got a special victory quote if you did that wearing anything aside from the typical outfits. And I think the king would say to you something like, hey, you, will you lend me your clothes? No dice? What a drag. So even he was impressed by your fancy Hammer Brothers outfit.
And that outfit, that made a reappearance in the new Super Mario Brothers series, right? And then...
I don't think so.
Well, it's definitely in...
Now, the boomerang, there was the boomerang suit, which was kind of similar.
That's right. Maybe that's what I'm thinking
and
of.
And probably a lot more effective, in fact.
Yeah, those hammers have you don't have a lot of control of those hammers.
Yeah, they actually got really short range. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that it's not that effective, but it's still really cool. It's still cool. So what's your next one?
My next one is probably on your list. It's got to be Cape Mario from Super Mario World. And I understand why.
It's not on my
list.
Oh,
my gosh. So it's on my list because...
But hey, Flying Mario.
Flying Mario. I mean, the ultimate Flying Mario.
Flying Mario is awesome.
Like, literally the best Flying Mario that ever existed, because if you were good at the cape, you could fly over complete levels. And it was kind of game-breaking in a way, I got to say, the cape. You know, you had the spin move and you had the floating down. But to be able continuously fly through the air... if you watch the speedruns now on games like on Super Mario World, you can see how much the speedrunners make use of Cape Mario, and how you can just blast through levels by just expertly flying through the level and not touching anything.
But that's not easy to do.
It's not
tricky to do.
But it's fun. Yeah,
it can be really.
And then that dive bomb, and you hit the ground, and everybody you know, falls off the level.
Yeah, totally. That is fun. Although I never got that good at Super Mario World that I could actually figure out where to use that move in the best spot. Mm-hmm. So usually if I did the dive bomb, it would not be to my advantage. I would like crash right into something bad or fall right down a pit.
Yeah, if you do it in a ghost house, you're on your own.
But it is a cool move to have.
It is. And I love the look of the thing. It makes Mario look like Superman, and I would buy a Mario wearing a cape amiibo in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. And it is pretty cool that it's included in Super Mario Maker as well. So my next pick is something along those same lines. I totally agree that Flying Mario was great, so I'm going with a fairly common and popular one, Tanuki Mario.
Yep.
Although specifically, I'm picking the one from Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yes, I would as well, because of the statue move. Right?
Yes, and the statue move, kind of like the hammers with the Hammer Brother, I think it's kind of useless, isn't it?
No,
but it's still really cool.
If you're being attacked by the Hammer Brothers and you statue up, you're invincible.
Well, yes. I mean, it really does have a tangible benefit. But because it has that lag time when you use it and when you stop using it, it can be really, really tricky. But yes, the fact that you can do that is the reason why I pick it over other versions of the Tanuki suit, and also why I would pick it over just regular Raccoon Mario.
Yeah.
But alongside Raccoon Mario, the Tanuki suit in Mario 3, that was the first time that you were able to, you know, run super fast and then take off and then fly through the sky and explore the world freely like that. So I think just that combination of it being, you know, the first time you could really do that, and that extra statue move, and... I think it probably maybe... Does it look cooler than just having the raccoon tail and ears or not?
Oh, does the Tanuki costume look better? Oh, definitely. Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks like...
I'm a little undecided about that.
He's much cuter.
He's definitely cuter. Does he look cooler?
As cute as a chubby little mustachioed plumber can look.
That is true. That is true. So that's why that makes my list.
All right.
And of course, we're saying these not in a particular order, but let's go. What's your last one?
Oh, I was ranking mine.
Oh, fair enough then. I take it back.
Okay, my number one, I'm going to get a lot of haters for this possibly, but I love Cat Mario. I think Cat Mario was the best invention in years for Mario. I think
that was a good one.
It just showed that Nintendo had a sense of humor.
It's very charming.
It is super charming and ultimately not super useful, but climbing up walls in a 3D world, I think that's brilliant. Like, oh, how is
I don't know. I think it's very useful and cool. All right. I like it a lot. And it's a good choice.
The dash move and the swipe with the paw. It's just charming. And again, I think it shows that that Nintendo is connected to the greater. Like, they're not just insular. They're not. I don't think Cat Mario would have been a thing without the advent of the internet and. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
And that silly meow. I just think that's cute.
But they made great use of it.
They did.
I mean, cats, of course, they're super popular in Japan. So, maybe it would have come about anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a great one. It's, probably one of the best new Mario transformations or costumes they've come up with in the last 10 years or so. Yeah, that's a really good one. I didn't pick it, though.
Oh, all right. What'd you pick?
My third pick is the Mega Mushroom.
Oh, all right. I was considering it, but then the limited use of the Mega Mushroom is just it's heartbreaking. It's not like you're ever going to be able to take that into the next level with you, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But when you have it, it's just, it's super empowering. Oh, it is. And you can do, whatever. Suddenly you're giant Mario and you're not even just smashing through the enemies, you're smashing through the entire level. And sure, it, isn't really what Mario is about. Takes away the whole platforming element and all that.
Certainly does.
But you are just super duper buff, powerful, gigantic Mario smashing your way through whatever you want to destroy, and that can be pretty fun at times. So that is my choice.
Did that ever? I mean, outside of Super Mario Wii U or Wii, Super Mario Wii and Super Mario Wii U, did that ever get any? I mean, it was also on the 3DS, but it did.
New Super Mario Brothers on the DS, yeah. The original New Super Mario Brothers.
Is that where it started?
Where it originated.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I think that's where it's still put to its best
use. I think
use.
The look of the Mega Mushroom is a little dopey because he's got such a big cap, but he's still got the tiny little. It's kind of silly. But
yeah, that's true. But hey, if it makes you that powerful, I'll take it.
Yeah, the Super Mario, the 3D Land game, I feel like the power-ups are great. They're just not super exciting. You got the boomerang. But that is, I think Super Mario 3D Land may be my favorite Mario game of all, one of my favorite Mario games of all time.
Oh, wow. I have to say, I'm kind of amazed that we each came up with three completely different power-ups.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised Cape Mario didn't make your list. And I didn't put Tanuki Mario on my list. Because of Cape Mario.
Well, there's only room for one flyer,
Yeah,
know?
That's so how I felt, too. I didn't want to...
I went with Tanuki, you went with
I didn't want to do all, flying Marios, because I felt... Because also, B Mario, I feel, deserved a mention, because, gosh, that was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I was considering Rock Mario from Galaxy 2 as well. And the other one that I think deserves an honorable mention that neither of us picked would just be, the mystery mushroom Mario that lets you transform into all these other classic characters in Mario Maker.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And there's also Super Mario Sunshine. What did you think of the water jetpack? Did you just think it was, obviously it's not something they revisited, but.
I mean, it's okay for what it was.
I mean, it's not necessarily a power-up, it's a mechanism. But.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I would have included that for consideration in this list. It served its purpose at its time, and I think it worked in Super Mario Sunshine, but I don't necessarily feel like it's something that I need to revisit again.
I agree.
Well, this episode's gone on pretty long, and that's why we've had this extra mini version of the big topic. So I suppose we ought to wrap it up.
All right.
But before we go, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Athena. A fantasy world of boundless adventure awaits you. I am Athena, They call me the Goddess of Wisdom, but I have grown weary of my dull life in the castle. The fantasy world beyond the castle walls beckons to me. Strange and fearsome creatures will attack me at every turn, but I will find weapons along the way. A ball and chain, a bow and arrow, or a mighty sword will be my defense. In the fantasy world, I can put on wings and take to the sky, or become a mermaid to explore the ocean depths. There, the Goddess of Wisdom can become the Princess of Victory.
It's a goofy little platformer. It sounds so intense, but ultimately it's like, it's so cutesy. It feels like the cover art makes it look so badass, and then the game itself just kind of, I don't know, looks like Sailor Moon.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever actually played the NES version, but I think I've seen it on some people's lists of worst NES games of all time.
That's not good. And it's SNK. You'd think SNK would have, I don't know.
Well, it was an arcade game first. And you know, as you know, arcade ports of the NES could be kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, we'd appreciate if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
See you soon.
And my life coach, the Wii Fit Trainer.
Tuck in those glutes.
We will see you next time. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. Great mighty Pooh.